B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Corey Taylor is my guest today in the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Of course, Slipknot, Stone Sour, now his own solo stuff. What can we expect from this upcoming solo record?
But this is like a great taste of where I've been and where I come from.
He talks to me about why a solo project and why now.
It's really about the fact that, you know, I've been doing heavy lifting for both bands for a very long time, and it was like, it really got to the point where I was just like, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I want to do it right, I'm going to do it my way.
Of course, we can't have Corey Taylor on without talking a little bit of wrestling, as well as what's going on with Stone Sour, a question that came up repeatedly on my social media.
I went to everybody in the band, and I said this was what I was going to do, and this was actually a couple of years ago. They told me got it, they told me understood it.
CMFT, Corey Taylor today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Friends and countrymen, thank you so much for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Pretty good one for you today with Corey Taylor. Of course, Slipknot, Stone Sour, now doing his solo thing. That drops in early October. And I can't wait to hear it, to be quite honest with you. I love all the work he's done. Of course, whenever I talk to Corey, we got to talk a little bit of wrestling, a little wrestling, because that's part of his DNA, right? And it's so funny because I think I've asked him in the past, like, favorite wrestlers and different things like that, but I just saw something on the internet the other day, which I wanted to ask him about as far as wrestling is concerned, in a totally different aspect. So we'll get into that. We talk about Stone Sour. A lot of you guys in social media wanted to know what the deal is with Stone Sour. He just announced the other day that it's kind of on, hiatus right now, indefinite hiatus, if I'm not mistaken with the correct terminology. But we'll talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. In the meantime, it was one of these three-way calls. They connected me, and we were off and running with Corey Taylor today on Talkin' Rock.
Same stuff, different quarantine. You know how it is.
Different quarantine. Boy, this is the first one I've ever been in. I'm older than you are, so I can't imagine how that could work. But, So.
Well, look, you know, it was a weird day in high school, and I was young and in love. That's all I really need to say.
Yeah, we've all been there. So, hey, man, first of all, the first two songs I've heard were killer. I love CMFT. That is so amazing. I was like, as soon as I heard that, I'm like, wow, this is really killer. And then I texted my friend Jay Rust, and Jay, this is his quote. He said, I can use this. He said, this record is like Tom Petty on steroids. What say you?
Well, I mean, that's one way of putting it, I guess. the best way for me to sum this album up is it's a walk through the best playlist ever. Let's put it that way. This album is such a representation of all of my influences, you know, or most of them anyway. I mean, there's still so many that I can touch on and that I actually will on subsequent solo albums. But this is like a great taste of where I've been and where I come from, you know, like that kind of singer-songwriter vibe mixed with different genres and different tones, and really just kind of trying to capture the spirit again, the excitement that comes with writing a tune and playing it with a band, man.
Yeah, I remember one of the times I was talking at Rock in the Range, you were touring with Stone Sour, and you just started busting out into Bob Seger. So it's like your musical your musical influences come from all over the place. You mentioned singer-songwriter, and he's a perfect example right there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Bob Seger, John Fogerty, those people, I mean, even people like Billy Joel, man. I mean, all of those guys, you know, they're so great at what they do, and the craft is so good, and it's the songs that get stuck in your head, you know. We call them junk food choruses, you know, because there's no way they're not fattening. There's no way there's no sugar in those choruses, man. You know? So that's the stuff that I live for. That's the stuff that I love. It's getting that lung full of air because you're just ready to try and hit the good notes in the chorus. You know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, you know, you're so right. It's like there's something to be said for like a well-written song. And I don't care who writes it, but it's like even like a country song. I always go back to like Jamie Johnson's In Color. It's like one of the best written songs I've ever heard.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, people like that, or you can even go as far back as like Jay Ferguson, man. And, you know, like all the, I mean, just Thunder Island, you know, people hear that and they immediately start going, doo, 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 doo. I mean, you're losing their minds, man. And it's technically yacht rock, but it's so good it doesn't matter.
Jay said this record came together fast. He said the band is awesome. He says one or two takes, and it was pretty much live, right?
Yeah, 99% live, dude. We did 25 songs in 2.5 weeks. It was stupid. I mean, you name me another band that could have done that, man. We did 13 original songs. We did 6 covers, and then we did 6 acoustic versions of the 13 originals that we did. I mean, it was so fast and so quick that we just literally turned around. And we were like, "What? We're done? Wait, we can't be done. We had to think of more stuff to do, man." Like, it was crazy.
So you say that you got all sorts of extra stuff in your brain for like solo albums coming up and stuff. I asked James Hetfield one time about if he would ever consider doing a solo project. And he said, "Well, Metallica kind of is my solo project. So with you work with 47 other different people. So what makes this solo project like completely yours?"
Basically, me writing all the songs, with the exception of one. I wrote everything on the album with the exception of one, and that was a co-write with Tooch. It's also me handpicking the band based on talent and lack of drama. And it's really about the fact that I've been doing heavy lifting for both bands for a very long time, and it was like it really got to the point where I was just like, you know what? If I'm gonna do this, I want to do it right. I'm gonna do it my way, and I'm gonna do it in a way that I can enjoy every second. That really is where it comes down to. You know, if I was going to do a solo album, it was really going to be me. It's not me putting my name on something that somebody else wrote. This is going to be me and what I want to do.
And do you think the success of your other bands really afforded you this project?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's why I didn't do it for 20 years. You know, like for me, it's more about really getting everything out of my career with both bands before I even considered doing something like this. You know, for me, this is a way of sharing stuff with a fan base that I've spent 20 years building and really maybe even filling in a piece of a musical puzzle, you know, because it's like people, when I tell them the stuff that I listen to, they can't wrap their head around it because of the two bands that I'm a part of. And yet when they hear this album and they hear the things that I've written, it will all of a sudden make sense.
Well, you know, what I've heard so far, just the two songs, I mean, one is very Stone Sourish and one has a little bit more of a Slipknot vibe. So you're always going to probably have a little bit of that in there. But what do the rest of the songs sound like other than Tom Petty on steroids?
there's a little bit of Slade in there. There's one song that somebody compared to Charlie Daniels' band working with Thin Lizzy.
Mm.
There's a bunch of stuff, man. I mean, it's really without cursing, it's just a flat out kicker of an album. Let's put it that way.
All right, there you go. Well, like I said, I've loved what I've heard so far, and I love the championship belts and all that stuff you send out to everybody. So,
it was my way of just sharing the fact that, you know, I took the title back. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Well, who had it before?
Well, I mean, if I created it, then you do the math.
Okay. Hey, speaking of wrestling real fast, I want to ask you a couple of things. I've asked you about, you know, your favorite wrestlers in the past, but I saw something the other day on the internet about the greatest guys that work the mic. Who are some of your favorites as far as mic work is concerned?
Oh, dude. I mean, take it back. I mean, Flair was obviously one of the best on the mic, but you had everybody from Bobby the Brain Heenan could think on his feet quicker than anybody had ever seen, you know. You had people like, I mean, Roddy was amazing on the mic. But somebody who I don't think gets nearly enough credit is Michael Hayes.
Mm.
You know, the leader of the Freebirds. I mean, he was so good on the mic that he was able to really kind of revolutionize that whole kind of that rock and wrestling vibe. You know, he was the one that really created intro music, entrance music. You know, that was basically his idea. And, to couple that with just his ability on the mic is incredible, you know. those are some of the best. But then, I mean, you know, from the like the modern era, I mean, Shawn Michaels was so good. Chris Jericho is unsurpassed. Like, he is so good that he can literally create and destroy characters in one sentence.
Yeah. I just saw a thing when he came out as Y2J 20 years ago, man, and the crowd pop was just unbelievable. But
it's sick, man, because people didn't know it was going to happen, and it was before the internet kind of ruined good things like that. And, oh, dude, yeah, it's just a great – and then The Rock really just ripping into him is so good.
I think the article I read, the one that they've picked as the top one was Goldust Dad. What was his name?
Oh, Dusty.
Yeah.
Boats,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. They
picked
him.
The American Dream, baby.
Yeah, the American Dream.
Yeah, I've spent time with King of Queens in the street eating rice and beans, that is. Oh, number one.
Hey, so you just mentioned Jericho. Of course, he's got this internet thing going with Sebastian Bach. Have you been following this?
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's so ridiculous. Oh, and I texted Jericho, and I was like, dude, what is happening? And he just goes, man, I don't know. I just know that I'm not going to let this thing stand. Just went, all right, okay, cool.
So he uses some of your music, right? Is it Jericho's organization or different? I'm trying to remember. I get him confused here.
WWE NXT does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, All Out Live was the theme for NXT, and then they used Unsainted for a while for one of the pay per views, which was rad, man. So we've always had a really good relationship with WWE, but I will say AEW is dope. I love AEW. I love what they're doing. I love how creative they are. I love that they're getting back to the creative, like the freshness, basically, of just how much fun wrestling used to be.
Yeah, it seems to have lost something in the past. It seems, and this is just my perspective as a 51-year-old guy, but it's like it seems like they've kind of gone after this younger crowd, and it's not. It's kind of like 2PC, and it's just not as. It's just not what it used to be. In the late 90s, when I really loved it.
Right, right. You go from the Attitude era, and then the Ruthless Aggression era, and whatever. And now it's like you talk about that PC era. It really kind of lost not only the younger crowd, but the older crowd as well, man. It really became stagnant. And I think a lot of that is because for all intents and purposes, there was only really one big company. But now, because there are so many other different companies that are really kind of coming to the surface, like Ring of Honor is really starting to come into its own. A lot of more people know about Ring of Honor. TNA Impact still has a pretty good following. You have AEW. There's stuff coming over from New Japan, which, you know, is a promotion that's really been around for a very long time. There's all of these other promotions that are really affording people to be able to be creative again because they don't have to rely on one company. I think because of that, we're seeing that level of creativity kind of really start to come back to life.
And do you ever write, like, some of your songs, like, for example, in this solo record, do you ever write a song, even with Slipknot or Stone Sour, and go, man, this would be awesome, you know, as entrance music or in a pay-per-view event?
Oh, dude, CMFT, Must Be Stopped, is definitely a song that when I was putting it together, I was like, oh, if I came down the ramp to this, people would pop like crazy. Like, that was like, because it's just like, attention, ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, and boom, right out of the gate, yeah, explosions. I come down with my little pip-pip arms thinking that I'm going to beat somebody up. It's going to be great.
That is funny. Hey, when I posted that I was going to be talking to you, I asked people, like, what I should ask you, of course. And a ton of people wanted to know the Stone Sour thing. You're probably rolling your eyes, but what can you say about Stone Sour?
Stone Sour is on indefinite hiatus for right now. I went to everybody in the band, and I said this was what I was going to do. And this was actually a couple of years ago. They totally got it. They totally understood it. Everybody's kind of working on their own thing. Obviously, Tucci's working with me on this band. Josh is working on his own solo thing. Chow obviously has Masuto Chow. He's got a host of other bands that he's doing. And Roy's kind of doing, you know, Roy has a litany of things that he's working on,
yeah.
Whether it's soundtrack stuff or, scoring and everything. So it just felt like the time for me to kind of step away from Stone Sour and really do this, because I knew if I didn't, I wasn't going to be able to do it. Obviously Slipknot's going to be, you know, bread and butter, but, it's something that I can kind of walk away from for a while and come back to, you know. It just felt like this was the time for me to do this.
And a final thing here for you, because I know I'm running short on time. But, yeah, by the way, Chow did tell me. I asked him a little while ago, and I said, hey, what's going on with Stone Sour? He goes, I'll let Corey tell you. So, so anyways, I posted that question out, and the girl that we went record shopping with back when you were here in Detroit a couple years ago with Hailstorm wanted me to ask you how that Dokken record sounds on your turntable, the one I gave you.
Oh, it's killer.
Okay, good.
It's so killer. I mean, yeah, man, it's so bad. Yeah, it's, you know, there's, you know, Dokken is a very underrated band, you know, especially in that time period. They're not great now, but you know, now, like back then, dude, they were scorching.
Well, I gave you that record. You're like, dude, why are you giving this to me? I'm like, I don't know. I thought you would like it.
Yeah, but I already had it.
Oh, see, I already had it, too. That's why I gave you a copy. I already had one. So... I just talked to Don yesterday or something, and, you know, he's trying to get on with his life. His hand's, you know, paralyzed, and he's got this lost thing. He was going to tour with George Lynch this year.
Oh, dude, that would have been, well, I don't know. If he can get healthy, man, that would be rad to see.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Well, listen, good luck with everything. The record drops in early October. I can't wait. I've always been a big fan of everything you've done, and it's always great to talk to you, Corey. So we'll see you hopefully maybe sometime here in Detroit in the future.
As soon as it's cool, as soon as it's safe, you will definitely be seeing more of me, I promise.
All right, CT. Thanks, man. Appreciate the time.
Always, man. Take it easy, man.
There you go. Hope all your questions were answered, at least in the allotted time I had. Had to sneak in some wrestling, right? We had to talk about, you know, 80s hair bands and more today with Corey Taylor. Yeah, CMFT is just awesome. I love that track. His Stone Sour stuff is killer. And, of course, I mean, Slipknot. Just unbelievable stuff right there. So, hey, if you like this podcast, you've made it this far, thank you so much for listening. Check back often. Subscribe. Just talked with Don Dokken, like I just mentioned. Last week we talked with, Jean-Paul from Clutch. We talked with John Anderson from Yes. Janet Gardner, formerly from Vixen. We've got some other interviews in the works. Supposed to talk to Johannes from Avatar. They have a killer new record out as well. And we'll probably talk to them, I think, sometime near the end of the week or possibly early next week. But in the meantime, thank you so much for listening. If you like this podcast, 5-star ratings and reviews and all that kind of stuff on Apple and iTunes are always appreciated. And like I said, subscribe. And thank you for listening to Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.